RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks. You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get to us, questions, comments, smart remarks, they're all welcome. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Email us, info@CrushPerformance, and on the social media. We're getting better. Trust me, it is an art form, and these young kids are so good at the social media right now. It's crazy. I have three daughters, and here's a quick little, I should put this out as a poll question. How many texts do you think my 14-year-old daughter sent last month? We got a couple in-studio guests. We'll get to that. So it's an amazing number. I'll reveal that later. But I've been challenged to get better at the social media. It's a great way to share information on Twitter, at Jeff Crush, on Facebook, Instagram, and check out our YouTube channel. A lot of cool things there. You can search Crush Performance. Today, we are talking the kickoff to the ski season, and way up north, the snow is flying. It's cooler down south, and such an important time of the year. And we're joined in studio today, I'm very happy to say, by Tony Siegel from Tuwantinah Valley. Welcome.
Hello.
And Tim Day from Snow Valley Ski Hill in Edmonton, Alberta.
How are you?
Very good. Thank you guys for coming in today. I thought it would be great to talk about the local hills and what they mean to the community and how important it is to get kids outside during the winter. And with all of the issues that we're seeing right now, and if we just stick to the kids' side of the story right now, with childhood obesity and the activity levels we're seeing in kids, and then on the sports side as well, in terms of long-term development, the issues we're seeing with overtraining, specialization, burnout, and the dropout rates right now, the numbers, current numbers in North America in the ages of 13, 14, and 15, they vary a little between sources, but it's around a 70% dropout rate of organized sport. And part of that has to do with the year-round scheduled training that just doesn't give a kid a break from a sport. And Tim, I know you've been around sports and athletics for a long, long time, worked in the club scene for a long time, which was actually a really, really great place to be because kids could float from sport to sport.
Right.
But now at the ski hill, what a great way to get your kids outside and active.
It is. It's what we've found is that we're, you know, you have kids that come back either through a program or they come back just because their families buy a season's pass, and they're out there for hours on end. So they are getting outside more than, say, most kids that, say, you know, aren't part of an organized sport or even just want to be part of an activity.
Yeah. And the great thing is you can go out with your pals, you can go out with a class, you can go out independently. There's no pressure. You learn at your own rate. And small local hills are so, so important. Tony, maybe tell us a little bit about Tuwantinah Valley, such a great little rural hill that services a lot of smaller communities out in the country.
Well, Tuwantinah Valley is located about an hour north of Edmonton. It's a great facility. We have 145 acres of skiable terrain, three T-bars, a rope tow. It's just a great place for everybody.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're here because I grew up out in that country, and I used to go to Tuwantinah with, and I wasn't a skier by far. I grew up on a farm, and as you mentioned earlier off air before we hit the air here, it's difficult for some people to get out. Livestock families, the farmers, we had a hard time getting out, but we went out through school, and that was my introduction to skiing. What a great way to get inducted into the winter sports. It's so, so important. So today we are going to kick off the ski season, talking with a couple of the local hills. We'll be visiting Marmot Basin here momentarily. We're going to talk to our good friends over at United Sport and Cycle because there's new technology, just like in every sport, pushing human performance forward. It's also, I believe, making learning more enjoyable. So we'll talk to the guys there right away. And for everybody who's listening, the crush question of the day, what is the best off-season sport, regardless of what sport we're talking about? I really like the winter sports because it gets the summer athletes a great option to get away from their sport. We're seeing this more and more, specialization, year-round training. I kind of wish there was skiing for the hockey athletes so they weren't playing hockey all year round. So really, really important to get those off-season sports in. Let us know what sport you played or you're playing right now and what you think the best off-season sport is for that. Any experiences with that for you, Tim, personally?
The off-season?
As a kid, what was your sport as a kid?
You know what? I played darn near everything. I played field hockey. Played soccer.
Yeah,
I played
so
ball hockey. Like, whatever my parents, you know, just get out of the house, go play scrub, you know, at the local ball diamond, right? And it was good. I mean, we played hockey, but, you know, not elite level. It was just fun, but it was organized. So, yeah, as far as the off-season from winter into summer, we just did anything to be outside. So that was my experience.
Yeah, which is great.
I think it's pretty, well, from our generation growing up, that's kind of just the way it was, that we didn't have the year-round sports going on. But, you know, even just on as a day-to-day type thing, you were outside all the time playing with the neighborhood kids or building a fort or playing superheroes, just running around, riding your bikes.
Playing superheroes,
play,
just play, right? Well, it's really interesting right now because if you look at some of the major sports in the U.S. and in Canada, they're really collectively working together. And we have, for example, in Hockey Canada up north, they have a list of five summer sports, the five best summer sports for hockey players. And Baseball Canada has reciprocated, saying the five best winter sports, skiing being one of them, cross-country skiing being another. We'll talk about that momentarily. But let us know, everybody, a $25 gift certificate from Deluxe Burger up for grabs from our Twitter poll, 101260. You can get to us there. Let us know what sport you played and what you think the best off-season sport was for you. All right. Well, talking about sport, we know that technology is a big part of the game, every single game, and skiing's no different. And technology not only helps maybe the advanced skier enjoy the hills a little bit better, but I think it also is helping in learning. Technology has come a long way. We're joined right now by Malcolm Leppard from United Sport and Cycle. Malcolm, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks.
Great.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, so Malcolm Leppard, any relationship to Def Leppard by chance?
No, just the spelling. That's it.
Okay, darn it, man. I was hoping to have some sort of connection there. One of my childhood bands, rock and roll bands right there. Hey, Malcolm, thanks for joining us today. You know, we always talk technology and how it's been pushing human performance forward. The snow sports are no different. Hey, let's start with this. I know I've got some friends that compete in the Nordic skiing, skating, and the traditional Nordic skiing and biathlon as well. There's been a lot of advances in the cross-country genre of skiing, hasn't there?
Yes, yeah, definitely. There's skis now that you don't need to worry about the quick the kickbacks. You can just, they have the grip technology already in it, so it's super low maintenance and it's really accessible for a lot of people now.
Yeah, well, that's one of the tricks, especially back in the day, trying to pick the right wax for the right skis for the right conditions. And this new technology basically eliminates that for, say, a weekend warrior like me, where I don't want to spend hours prepping my skis to go out and have a cross-country run at it.
Exactly, yeah. Just low maintenance is the biggest selling feature for a lot of people, really.
Yeah, for recreational and competition. Now, on the snowboard front, we know that this is just a cool, hip area, but, you know, I think with the X Games, the Dew Tour, and the addition to these really hip, cool sports in the Olympics, these types of sports are really, really gaining traction with the younger crowd, and I think it's really important. Getting the right board to fit right, how important is that, Malcolm?
It makes a pretty big difference having a board that suits your riding style and your size. Buying secondhand works, but you just got to be sure of what you're buying, and size is good. If you're wanting to go in the park, you maybe want something a little bit smaller to hit jumps, spin off jumps, and if you want to hit powder, something bigger will give you that float. So knowing what you're after and talking to someone who works in a shop can definitely help you out.
Yeah, Malcolm, how about the boots and the bindings now for the snowboarders? Because, you know, that's one thing. I tried snowboarding. I grew up kind of skiing. I tried snowboarding. I got kind of good at it, but it took me way too long to get good, and I think I'm a little more versatile as a skier. But I have skied with some top-notch snowboarders. They can do anything, and they've got some cool gear. But I see the changes and advancements in the bindings and the boots for those guys, and I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, definitely. Like, lots of the boots nowadays are kind of boring from the ski side, where you're getting the heat moldable kind of custom fit. So we have Nitro boots in the shop, and yeah, we heat mold every single pair of boots that we sell. Just helps kind of fit properly, so it kind of hugs your feet well, so you could do anything. You're not, your feet aren't sliding around, and you're not getting out of control.
Malcolm, listen, the downhill sports now. We're seeing so many different skis for different conditions. My daughter was part of the freestyle club. She had four kinds of skis depending on the ski conditions any time of day. I think we had to take out two or three extra mortgages on our house just to get that rolling.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad. It was tons of fun, though. But, I mean, the technology in the skiing is so great now, and the skis are so versatile and good for any conditions as well. You can specify, or you can get those all-mountain skis that are great for everything.
Yeah, you could definitely find, like, there's wider skis nowadays that can still carve like a race ski, but you could take them through the trees. There's a little bit of powder at Marmot or anywhere, but yeah, they can ski like a race ski if you want them to, or you could go on some crazy black diamonds with some powder and handle fine, no problem.
Yeah, and you mentioned the boots. The custom fit boots now are so important. They're so comfortable. I remember my feet just aching 10 minutes into a day. But man, I actually enjoy wearing my boots now, and I'm looking forward to it now after a day of skiing, rather than, you know, wondering how much my feet are going to hurt. Getting into the right pair of boots is critical.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, most ski companies, like we have Atomic, they make a range of boots for all widths and all thicknesses, for all abilities. And nowadays, the custom fitting is kind of the way to go. So Atomic has their memory fit series. So the hard shell is heat moldable at the same time as the liner. So in less than like 15 minutes, you could get a custom fit boot, which will help you tremendously.
Yeah, so great, Malcolm. Hey, thank you so much for your time today. If people want to get more information or get down to see you guys, how can they get in touch with you guys?
You can check out our website, unitedsport.ca, or give us a call. We're open 7 days a week, and we have guys here who are experts in all areas to help you out.
Great, Malcolm. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Great. Well, the technology. We're joined in studio by Tim Day from Snow Valley and Tony Siegel from Tawatina Valley Ski Hills. The local ski hills are so, so important. Great conversation. I wanted to get that in today because the technology has changed my personal experience on the hill. These new skis, I remember I used to ski the long 210s. They were straight, like little 2x4s on my feet. My new skis, man, they make skiing so much more enjoyable. And I know that probably helps Tim at the developmental levels as well.
Absolutely. And as he was alluding to the technology, it's the parabolic ski. I mean, it's been around for what, 10 or 15 years now, but it's changed skiing, really. As you said, I remember going to Marmot with 210s and pointing down the hill, not knowing how to ski. And now, those skis with the technology, it makes it easier to turn. I ride on 155s, so it's like it's a shorter ski because we have a shorter hill too, right?
Yeah.
And it's more comfortable, as you said. So, yeah, the technology has just brought it night and day.
And it's great for my ego as well,
yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is very important. That's most important.
That's what's most important.
I'm making turns that I never made before.
It's all about you, Jeff.
Yeah. Let the ski do the work. And it's true, though, isn't it? Hey, Tony, you guys have a really strong affiliation with a freestyle club. My daughter was in freestyle. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a family, I think it was the best move we ever made. I'm not going to lie to you. The drive to the hill every weekend was tremendous. Riding up the lift with my girls, talking shop, challenging each other on the hill was tremendous. Such a great, great family experience. And you guys are affiliated with a great freestyle club out there in Tawatina.
We are. We've had the Tawatina Valley Freeriders offering their programs at Tawatina for about 10 years now. They've grown to the point where there's about 60 kids registered for the club this year, I believe.
Wow.
And, you know, I had that same exact experience. Our two girls took part in the program. We had amazing times together as a family when they had a competition out at Jasper where your girls took part. We got to spend time together driving there, spending time on the hill. It's not the type of family sport where you go to your child's competition and you're just sitting there watching them. You can be out there being active, still have that great family time, still support your child while they're competing in their sport. And it's all about togetherness, having fun as a family and playing as a family.
Yeah.
That's actually one thing my wife pointed out was it's the one sport that we could all do together, whether it was skiing, snowboarding, cross-country skiing. Like we would we could all just suit up and go right together. We were all bounced out of minor hockey week once and, hey, let's just go. Yeah. And we were all on the hill for like 2 days. It was great.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. Hey, everybody, we're going to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the big picture, and then we're going to talk about these small hills and how important they are to communities and how they're such a great starter point, but such a great way to get kids active in the winter. That's coming up after the break. We're going to visit with our good friends at Marmot Basin, and we're going to get to our text question of the day. What is the best off-season sport for you? What was the best off-season sport, whether you were a summer athlete or winter athlete? We want to know. I think skiing and winter sports is great for the summer athletes. All that and more coming up after this break on Crush Performance. Stick around.
When you are looking for the latest news and notes going on in the world of mixed martial arts, the MMA Report podcast is the place to come. News from the UFC, Bellator, World Series of Fighting, and so much more. And also, we'll have interviews with some of your favorite fighters. The MMA Report podcast can be found on RadioInfluence.com, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and SoundCloud.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Crush Performance. I'm Jeff Crushell. The con man is behind the glass, and we're your weekly source for performance information. Listen, if you have any questions, thoughts, or if you have a topic or an idea you'd like us to investigate in terms of ideas for the show, let us know. You can write to us, info@crushperformance.com. Follow us on Twitter, at Jeff Crush, and Crush Performance on all other media platforms. We have taken some of the emails or texts or even some of the communications over Twitter, and we've turned them into entire episodes. As a matter of fact, we've taken some of our listeners who have written in with great comments and ideas coming off of episodes. We've had them on the show to have great conversations. So it's all about just getting everybody thinking about things that maybe we don't think about typically. So let us know. We appreciate all the comments and messages, and we answer every single one. Today, we are talking the kickoff of the ski season. It's a little deeper than that because we're talking about how important it is to get out and try different things season to season. I think most kids have a sport they're committed to or sports they gravitate towards, and that's how self-selection works. But I also think it's really, really important to expose kids in those critical developmental ages to as many different things as possible. And you never know what that might turn into. We're joined in studio today by Tim Day from Snow Valley and Tony Siegel from Tuatha Valley. Thank you guys once again for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Well, our text question of the day was, what is the best off-season sport or activity for your main sport? So for me as a kid, baseball was kind of my main gig. I loved it. And so, like you guys, we didn't have year-round baseball. You know, we went to a baseball camp once in a while. But in the wintertime, it was hockey. I would go out to Tuatha, and we would hit the local ski hill just to try things for a couple weekends of the year and go out with our pals and school trips. And it was just this great selection time where we got exposed to as many different things as possible. Some of the texts coming in today, and we will be picking somebody from our text pool and our Twitter pool to win a $25 Deluxe Burger gift certificate. So keep them coming in. What is the best off-season sport or activity that you've ever encountered? This is from George. I played baseball in the summer, a goalie in the winter, but I played anything I could find time for. Real common theme we're seeing here. This one from Nick. He says, hey, love the show. Played hockey. Really enjoyed playing basketball and badminton during the off-seasons. Even free weights and running was good for a change, from Nick. And that's really important as well. I think that, you know, times have changed so much that these year-round sports have sort of changed the landscape. And we're seeing injuries and dropout rates at alarming rates now, and the numbers are growing. And not only that, I mean, I think when we look at the options for kids in terms of the gaming industry now and the pressure we're putting on them, burnout and dropouts really, really high, and the obesity rates are getting up there as well. Getting your kids out and active in the wintertime is so critical. Let's talk about getting out for a family, for a young athlete, skiing and getting on the snow, an unnatural surface. What a great way to train or cross train for other sports. And there's a progression to it. Getting lessons. Let's hit this. Getting lessons early in the season. Such a critical part of learning. But even as a seasoned pro, having a couple lessons at the start of season doesn't hurt either.
Absolutely. It's, I mean, you talk to some of the guys that the instructors that we have, and they'll go into sessions with other instructors to learn, to remind themselves of, oh, I need to make sure to, you know, let my tips fall. And, you know, this is where I plant my pole. And for the absolute beginner, it's the only way to learn, at least to give the opportunity for the activity to take shape in their mind is, this is a lot of fun. You know, whether it's that first snowboard lesson where you're going down the learning hill and just letting gravity take you down and go, hey, I'm snowboarding, you know, that kind of thing, right? That's the kind of thing that makes you come back, that makes you go back. And that's our whole role as sort of feeder breeder hills, is to make people come back.
Well, that's an interesting point. And Tony, you kind of mentioned it earlier from Tawana about you guys heading up to the mountains for a weekend and what a great experience that is for kids learning on those local hills to prepare them for a trip to the mountains. That's just another natural progression, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Getting the basics and the fundamentals down when you're in a small ski area, so that if you're happen to be struggling on a certain day, it doesn't take you half a day to get down the mountain because you've gone all the way up to the top and then you go, being in a smaller area where you have lots of friendly people who will stop and help you if you run into problems, if you've fallen and your ski comes off, you don't know how to get it back on. I think you find in all of these small ski areas where a lot of people know each other that, you know, any random mom or dad that's out there is going to stop and help any kid that's having a problem.
Hill moms and dads. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Community moms and dads. That's exactly what it's like. It is a small little community, isn't it? We're always inviting new people in. We're challenging people to get out there because it's such a great experience. Whether you're Nordic skiing, cross-country skiing, downhill, whether you're trying the terrain parks now, which is a huge part of the winter sports, especially, I think, with the exposure that we're getting now with it being an Olympic sport, both on skis and on snowboards. How do you think, Tim, how do you think that has changed maybe the interest in the winter sports?
Well, I think it's changed it dramatically in that, you mentioned earlier the X Games now influencing the Olympic type of sports. I think if you look at even like at Rabbit and at Sunridge, they now have like permanent ski cross. And that's an excellent way to, you know, take your skiing and snowboarding to the next level, right? We have a terrain park, they have a terrain park, they have a terrain park, but they're all different. So you can just experience it all by actually choosing whichever one you can make it out to, right?
Yeah.
That's where I think the influence comes from, is that now we see that, they see it and they ask for it and we try and deliver it. And it's that circle of, so we try and evolve. They were talking about technology, same thing. It's just what people want. You know, they want to make it easier. They make more comfortable boots. They make easier turning boots, they make better turning boards, that sort of thing. I think it's all part and parcel with the evolution of the activity and the sport. I think they're also, you can separate them and combine them at the same
time. Yeah, we're joined in studio today by Tim Day from Snow Valley and Tony Siegel from Tawana Valley, two incredibly important local ski hills. And when it comes to the community, you know, we talk about the learning factor and maybe the kids that haven't had a chance. We talked a bit about the lessons, but progress in lessons too. I think the instruction has gotten much better as we learn, you know, the developmental models and the progressive developmental models. I've sat in on a couple of lessons just watching some of our young athletes learn. And the way the instructors now are progressively taking young athletes or even mature people skiing for the first time through the progress, it's almost fun to watch.
It really is. It's interesting watching somebody take a child who's maybe brand new to skiing, hasn't ever done it before, and watching the instructor break down the steps that they need to do to be successful in it.
So, you know, interesting. So I'm going to tell you a little story here. My experience, we moved back from Toronto and had two young girls and I couldn't wait to get them out skiing. And so our first experience as a family getting out to skiing was actually at a local hill, a small local hill. And our goal was to get the girls on the skis, learning safely so we could go to Jasper and introduce them to the Rocky Mountains. And I remember the first time the girls had, you know, grew up out east, for mostly hadn't seen mountains before. I remember making that turn on the highway and where you first see the Rocky Mountains. My youngest daughter, Olivia, goes, "What are those?" Boom, going into the national park, which is incredible. what just an incredible experience getting out there on the hill, right? I mean, think of a person getting out there for the first time, whether it's in the city, getting out and being outside or heading up to the mountains.
It's part of that sort of awe-inspiring experience that everyone's looking for, especially now. And that's what everyone talks about, the experience of this or that. Well, yeah, going to the mountains is a great experience. If you can take what you've learned on the local hill and take it to the mountains, now you have the tools to really make it a great experience as opposed to a good experience,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, interesting. So my daughter was involved in freestyle skiing. Another reason I wanted to do this show so much. My oldest daughter was looking at a Black Diamond run, and we've been skiing Blues. We finally got up to the mountains. We're skiing the Blue run. She goes, I think I can handle a Black Diamond. I said, oh, really? Sassy. Which one would you like to try? And there was one that was just under the chairlift. She goes, is that a Black Diamond? I said, yeah, that is. So she goes, let's do it. So we got on there about 5 feet in. She starts crying her eyes out and sitting on her butt, slides down nice and slow. And it was just a little too much for her, even with the lessons. That's part of the experience. So we're getting on the lift and she calmed her down. We're back going back up and we're just talking about the experience. And hey, well, good for you taking your time and understanding your limits. I said, honey, that was really smart to sort of take it easy. Later in the day, we're on the lift and there's, you know, we're halfway through the afternoon. And she goes, Dad, I think I want to try that again. I go, really? She goes, if I don't face my fears, I'll never overcome my fears. And again, part of the life challenges of just getting out on the mountains, it's great. One of the experiences that we had, Tony, with the freestyle side of things that really, really impressed me was the first time my daughter went off the big aerial jump and she was 5 or 6 feet over my head standing on the jump platform. And I'm going, wow, we talked a bit earlier about the learning progression and that skiing can sometimes seem intimidating. The process of development was unbelievable. To see a young girl who was scared of doing a Black Diamond run a few years later, going off a massive jump in the middle of a mogul field, but safe as can be because of the developmental process and the instruction. You don't need to be intimidated to get out on the hill.
You don't. And I think a lot of people look at skiing and they say, oh, it's such a dangerous sport. And I don't think people really understand all of the safety that really is built into ski hills and skiing itself. I mean, we've got the skier's responsibility code that, you know, anyone who's taking lessons or going through a ski program should be taught about being responsible, being aware of where you're skiing, terrain park etiquette, being aware when you're in a terrain park, watching for other people going off features so that you're not standing in their landing zone. And then, you know, as far as when the kids are getting training in a certified program, like all of the Canada Freestyle programs are, those coaches, they're all professional coaches. They're not volunteer coaches like you have in some other sports. So they're professionally certified. They know how to teach kids how to do the different tricks that they're doing in a safe manner. They teach them how to go into a jump at a safe, controlled rate so that they're going to hit it at the right speed so that they, you know, they're going to minimize any risk of injury.
Yeah. And Tim, we talked about it earlier. The freestyle is fun, but Alpine has been there forever. And it's sort of been maybe like the 100-meter dash of the winter Olympic sports. The downhill is just so awesome to watch. These are incredible athletes. But to learn those skills on your local ski, you wouldn't think it could happen. But a lot of the greatest skiers came from hills just like yours.
Absolutely. The Nancy Green program is like where every kid starts, right? If they want to join a race team. Eddie Podavinsky, I mean, that's Snow Valley is his hill. And, you know, he did pretty good.
He did do really good.
So, you know, that's where it all starts. And I go back to, you know, activity versus sport, elite versus just, you know, sort of the regular fun. You know, that's where the majority of kids will have fun racing in a controlled, safe environment. And then, you know, they'll get to that point where they, you know, it's, you know, fewer and fewer kids keep going forward, but they'll always be a skier. They'll always be a snowboarder. They'll always be, you know what, I can do this. We can go out and do this and have fun as a family or individuals or just with friends.
It's a lifelong activity, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
When you learn as a child with your family, you're going to ski forever.
And stay active forever, which is a really important thing. My husband goes helicopter skiing every year.
Oh.
And he says that pretty much every time he goes, there's a group of 80-year-old Austrians that are out there hucking cliffs and ripping up the powder. And it's just, it's a lifestyle thing. It keeps you healthy and strong and delays the inevitable aging process.
Yeah, keeping young at heart for sure. Tim, so we've seen the kids, these kids hucking and chucking and doing jumps and speeding down the hill. They've hopefully all taken lessons and going through. It's a real safe environment to learn for certain. But I have a young, one of my good friends has a young boy now. He must be about 11 or 12. Evan must be. Yeah, he's 12 now. And he chose not to go into any one particular sport. Great athlete. Like, honestly, could have played, I think, almost any sport he wanted to. But he chose to just patch it together. So he does parkour in the summer. Oh, and he's out on, he snowboards and he skis. But when he gets out on his snowboard, so we go, the families get out, go out together. If it's even one of the hills during the week on a weeknight, some of the hills have lights. It's just fantastic. But on the weekends, when you can't make it all the way out to the mountains, go out for a day of skiing. To watch the tricks these kids can do, it's incredible.
Oh, absolutely.
To be young again at this day and age, how much fun are these kids having?
It's amazing. I mean, at Snow Valley, you go up the triple chair, which parallels the terrain part. And these kids are doing amazing tricks. Like, they'll go off and do, you know, 720, and you're just like, what? You know, it's, and they're, I mean, they just, they're not afraid to fall, and they're hitting all these tricks, and they crash, and they get up, and they're, you know, it's really eye-opening to see what they can do.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. All right, everybody. Hey, we're going to cut out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the importance of the small ski hills in the community. We're going to talk about school programs, national programs, and how it really works into the overall development of the athletes. So stick around and keep the text coming on the text line 101260. The question of the day is, what is the best off-season sport for whatever sport you played? Off-season activity or sport for your number one sport? Let us know. We'll have more of that right after this on Crush Performance.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Jeff Kreshel here. This is Crush Performance. We are talking the start of the ski season and how important those winter sports are for athletes. Whether you're committed to a summer sport or a winter sport, just the variation in the experience of getting outside and learning a new sport is so, so important. We're joined in studio today by Tony Siegel from Tawana Valley and Tim Day from Snow Valley. Once again, thank you guys for joining us today. And so we've had a lot of great conversations today regarding the winter sports and how important it is to get out during the winter, just to be active. We've got to embrace the winter if you're up north. And if you're down south, to get up and actually experience the snow and play on the snow is quite an experience. But for local hills and local communities, you guys play a very, very pivotal role in life experiences, but activities, but also in also getting kids and families active. Tim, for Snow Valley, inside of a major city, I think the school systems are a real underutilized tool in terms of keeping kids active. What is the relationship between the hills and the local schools? That has to be an important part of it.
It is. It's a tremendous part. I mean, from a business sense and from contributing to the community. We have, basically around 20,000 kids visit us every year with the schools. And one of the ways we do is we make it relatively affordable. And it's like just over $20 per kid for the trip. And they get a lesson, they get a lift ticket, they get their rentals. And they have that ability to sample, really, the skiing or the snowboarding, whatever they want to do on the hill. And the takeaway is, you know, they've had one more activity outside. One of the ways we try and drive that is that we try and speak to the teachers and the schools in the language they need to hear, which is about, you know, physical literacy and gross motor skills and these sort of things and alternative learning environments, these sort of things. And it's really important that it sort of makes sense to everybody. And yeah. So the takeaway is the kids get to get out, they get to try something new, they're active, they're outside, they get almost a whole day out.
Incredibly affordable and with a lesson. I really like this.
Yeah, that's I think that's pretty much the MO of all the hills that host schools, is to make sure that we're we're giving them that safe environment.
Yeah.
We're giving them the proper equipment.
Yeah.
And then we're letting them have fun.
Yeah. So, Tony, in terms of the schools and getting schools out, is this just part of the curriculum, or is this something that schools have to seek out, or how does it work? Because I know one of the things that we're really trying to encourage through the people I know and through the network of people that I work with is we're trying to figure out how we can be more effective in the school system, because there's the kids, that's where they spend all of their time. And if we can influence the structure of the schools, maybe even just a little bit, we might be able to help a lot of kids out. How does it work in terms of selecting going out to Tawatina for an afternoon or a day?
I don't believe that it is part of the curriculum. So it's something that we definitely go out and try to seek out with the schools. So we contact all of the schools in our area early in the year to let them know what we've got available for packages for skiing and snowboarding. And just like Snow Valley, we keep it really affordable. It includes a lesson and rentals if they're needed. There's some really great tools out there that we're making a great effort to share to our schools as well. There's a provincial program called Ever Active Schools that has some good tools that teachers and even if parents wanted to go on the website to look and see the information that they've got on there, they have a program called Ski, Skate, Slide that the schools can order these cue cards that have different activities that they can do with the kids in the classroom to get them ready to come to the hill, and then other activities that they can do on the hill once they get there. And that actually covers skiing, skating, and tobogganing. So, and cross-country skiing. That's a great one. There's a video that I just watched today on skicanada.org on the benefits of taking schools to a ski hill. And it's to all of teachers and kids talking about what they've benefited from going and learning how to ski.
Just the social environment too is incredible. Getting mm-hmm. out with your pals, getting a lesson though. I think you guys, that's incredible. So that's where I was introduced to skiing. I don't think I ever would have been if it wasn't for the schools and our phys ed teachers taking the effort or making the effort to get us out there. It wasn't part of what my family did. You know, we were on the farm. But it was once we got exposed to it, and it's something I love doing with my family now. And again, goes back to that lifelong endeavor. Contacting the schools, it's probably a lot easier than a teacher might realize. Is that possible when setting this up and getting your class out to the hill?
Absolutely. I think all of the ski hills have programs that are kind of pre-set up. So it's really just a matter of, you know, the ski hills provide their information to the schools. The schools decide which ski hill they want to take the kids to. They make sure that, you know, all the appropriate forms get filled out. They get sent in. Once you get to the hill, the staff at the hill kind of direct the process from that point on. And, you know, still with keeping all the teachers and volunteers involved.
Yeah, you mentioned tobogganing. I would have been a professional tobogganer.
If I could have, I would have, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in the 6-foot toboggan division.
Yeah, sliding down that, yeah, exactly sliding down that hill. I did my degree at University of Calgary, and I actually got out. I worked with a bunch of the Olympic and provincial bobsledders and actually got to know them quite well. I actually wound up racing bobsled for a couple of years. Tremendous sport, another great winter activity. But just that winter community is just so great. It's kind of a casual, laid back. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a competitive fun side of it, just like everything else. But like you mentioned, getting out, the social benefits of just getting out of the classroom and learning how to do something and being challenged. But you get better. That's the thing. And you can see yourself getting better. All of a sudden, you're going down that hill, just like my daughter, challenging their fears. Tim, in terms of the process for getting out there and the importance in the community, let's talk about this community influence. You mentioned it right off the bat that you have people that have gone out and now they're lifelong Snow Valley skiers.
Right. We've had, you know, four generations come down the hill. Right. And I think it's a lot to do with either they've grown up skiing somewhere and they see the opportunity to do it locally. It becomes close enough that it's not this major undertaking to go. People still plan, you know, oh, I'm going to go to Marmot. So they got to, you know, book the room and get the tickets and we're going to go in 3 weeks. Okay. But in the meantime, they can go, oh, well, let's just go, you know, down the road to Tawatina and, you know, take a couple of runs or head off to Snow Valley or Rabbit or Sunridge and just, you know, get ease into it. Right. And in those first days and get going. And, and it becomes part of the community. I mean, you sit down and you have a hot chocolate and, you know, you're on these big long tables and you just start chatting up, well, how's your run? Or like, oh, I almost wiped out on that one. Or, you know, it is a big community.
And the fish gets bigger and bigger.
And then I says to them, yeah.
Well, and we find that we get, you know, a lot of the seniors from our area who, you know, maybe skied back at Tawana back in the day. They come out just for the day to watch all the kids. And so, you know, they will have tables of seniors sitting there for the day, having hot chocolate, coming for lunch, visiting, getting out, socializing. And it's, you know, they might not be out there on the hill, but they're still taking part in the social aspect of it.
Yeah. And for parents, there's a lot of options as well. I mean, my wife and I ski. So we go out as a family and we ski and I try to kick their butts. Unfortunately, it's getting to the point, especially my daughter who's on the ski team. We won't say this in public. So we'll let her know this. Hopefully she's not listening right now. She can almost out ski me. She's way better than me. Yeah. I'm not lying to you. But there's a lot of options. We have parents who go out and will wind up cross-country skiing or snowshoeing or even just hiking in the winter while their kids are skiing all day. And Tawana has some great cross-country ski trails right by the downhill.
We do. We have 20 kilometers of set cross-country trails. They're set for classic and skate. So it's a great alternative. So if parents want to bring their kids out, kids are fooling around in the train park, having a great time all day, the parents can set off on the cross-country trails and get a great workout.
Yeah. One thing I like about this, and as we're running short of time here, Canada in Sport has developed the long-term athlete development programs, and Ski Canada has it for every single discipline inside of their sporting umbrella. And it's incredible to see the developmental process for athletes in terms of cross training and just getting out and experiencing being on the snow as an unnatural surface, whether you're on a board or on skis or on a toboggan or you're cross country skiing. What a great way to develop athleticism as a cross training. Tim, in the last few years, you've been around for a while. Have you seen changes in trends in terms of where kids are more interested? I'm sure the terrain park must be maybe one of the biggest new trends out there, or Alpine is still strong.
I think Alpine is still very strong. Yeah. Whether you're skiing or snowboarding, just, you know, riding the hill. I think so from our perspective, the last few years, we've seen more terrain based skiing and snowboarding. And so the difference to me between, you know, a terrain park and terrain bases, we'll have rollers off the side of the hill, or we'll make banks and just different little features, not the entire, you know, dominating the entire hill, but just fun things you can do. Snow School just ate it up when we started doing it because they said, that's perfect for teaching, right? Because now they can feel, and that's how they learn to do the turns on whatever discipline. You know, go over the little hump. Now feel yourself sliding that way. You know, new Canadians coming in, teaching them that sliding on snow on a hill is a good thing. Maybe not in your car, but but it's getting people to learn to get the feel.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, the smaller hill with the, you know, the lesser incline lets those people experience that without feeling like they're totally out of control.
Right.
And I think, so the trend, I think for us would be the terrain-based teaching.
Yeah. Tony, for the collective now, I mean, we know skiing as an industry is very strong. It's a big part of the winter regions, whether we're talking Europe, Asia, certainly North America for certain. But it's very important that the community works together as a small rural hill. How important is it for, let's say, the mountain resorts to make sure that programs like yours exist? I mean, it just has a ski community. I just see a lot of collaboration. I mean, between ski hills where you get a discount at a hill if you have a season pass here, or you get hotel room savings as kids work or families work to get their kids ready or their families ready to go to the mountains, for example. The community of skiing, I guess.
It's an incredible community and incredibly supportive. I'm pretty sure that all of the mountain park areas know that if they didn't have our little feeder hills that we're the people that grow the people who are going to go visit them. But I would say, well, just based on our hill's experience, many people may have heard that our hill almost closed down a few months ago. And we had a group of people that got together and managed to convince the county to let us keep it running. We had unbelievable support from all of the ski and snowboard industry with regards to that. You know, Tim came out to the county meeting to act as a supporter for us. We had support from Marmot Basin, from the Canada West Ski Areas Association, all of the local ski shops. It's really an incredible community.
I really like it. And the community is one of the things that draws me to the winter sports, the community between sports, between the hills. Just a few minutes left. Tim, any closing comments? Thanks for coming in today, by the way. It's been a great discussion. But for families who are interested in skiing and from Snow Valley, any final comments?
Well, from our perspective, I would say, you know, as a family, if you've never done it, you know, absolutely try the Discover program. And it's just an introductory. It's for someone who's never ever. Canada Ski Council also has Never Ever Days. Most ski hills will plan it and promote it. That's the best way to get introduced to it. And on the local hills, it's still an affordable activity to do.
Yeah, great. And Tony, thanks for coming in as well. We're so glad that the hill is up and running this year. Final comments?
I would just agree with everything Tim said. And just, you know, if you're looking for a beautiful drive on a sunny winter day, come out to Twatna.
I love it. All right. Thank you guys for coming in today. Thank you for everybody for listening. We're out of time. Next week, it is Humans Are Overrated with Jeff Goldman from Fortune Magazine. We'll talk to you then.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is a Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Everybody, do me a favor. Rev up your engine. Get ready for Duffified Live. Mr. Alan Lane, publisher, journalist, Sport Bikes, Inc.
I was a late bloomer. I didn't start riding until I was closer to 20. I saw the stress and the wear that it had on my mom, that she went through while she worried about Greg. I just kind of waited till I got out of high school. And Greg got me into bikes. I remember my first bike was an 87 Honda Nighthawk 750 with a bad alternator. The battery kept dying. And I loved the bike, but I hated it at the same time because it wasn't.
I hate electrical problems.
It wasn't reliable, you know? And
yeah.
It was a pain in the ass. But I loved it, but it was a pain in the ass. It was like a couple of first relationships that I was in. You loved it, but
she was the best, but goddamn.
Yeah, right. Like, so why can't she just work the way I wanted her to work? I'm happily married now, though. I will say that I'm happily married.
Gotcha.
But, this was early on. So Nighthawk 750. And, you know, I fell in love with everything that being a motorcyclist brought to the table. When I was a kid, I read comic books. And so, you know, for me to find a way as an adult to wear leather boots, right, gloves, jacket, helmet, and look like a superhero and be cool about it, I was in. I was all in.
Duffified Live with Chef Brian Duffy can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.